Mike, that was a wonderful song. I love that. Faith is the victory. Praise God. I really was concerned a little bit tonight about some of the things I saw going on in the foyer till the pastor explained. They were just chewing their good. So, I want to speak to you tonight on a thought to behold. I really have a deep appreciation for the Word of God, more so now than I ever have before. And I think one reason is because and if there's ever a time that we need to really grow, it's today. I often think how often you've heard saying, I take it for granted. I believe people take a lot of things for granted today. I think a lot of times they take their salvation for granted. But we must never. We must walk the walk, talk the talk, keep our eyes upon the Lord. How many believes He could come any moment? In preparing tonight for this message, I thought about the one thing that has failed in many churches to be preached, and that's the rapture. They talk about a lot of different things that's happening or has happened, but we need to talk about what could happen at any moment. It's called the Blessed Hope by the Apostle Paul, and when I think of the rapture, I get excited, especially what's happening and has been happening throughout our world, and just thinking that at any moment He could come. I've said lately when I was talking on the phone, while we're on this phone, He could come. And I believe that. God's Word, the Bible, is God's direct communication to mankind. And from Genesis to Revelations, we're told how God's creation began and later how the earth will be replaced with a new heaven and a new earth according to Revelations 21 and 1. The Bible also tells us about significant events that have taken place, such as man's disobedience, Christ's birth, the crucifixion, and the resurrection to reconcile man to God. The Bible also tells us what will take place, which is the rapture of the church, the great tribulation. And we know that there'll be a time for the religion and kingdom of the Antichrist just prior to the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So much is about to happen, and yet so much has. And somebody said, well, is it possible that He could come today? Isn't there certain people that's never heard? Well, I believe that you'll see that in hamlets, small hamlets across our world, in other small third world countries, there's people who have cell phones where they don't even have electricity and running water. It's shocking, isn't it? And yet, while we're presently living in a modern society, we realize that social media is everywhere, even in those places I just mentioned. Many devices are even touch and voice controlled. They say you never know who's tracking us down through our television. They say that they can actually watch you and I while we're watching television. That's something, isn't it? And I say this, and I'm not saying it in a wrong way, but many sleep in church with their eyes open. They drift into another world subconsciously. In my way of thinking, we need to think Bible, and we need to realize that B-I-B-L-E, as we used to sing when I was a child, it stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Of course, that's my thinking. I often think therefore it could be wise to awaken the church out of her sleep. And what an emotional stir when you think about it within the hearts of the disciples. As you see in the first chapter of Acts, that they was watching their Lord disappear into heaven, then heard from the angels the promise of his return to the Mount of Olives. And oh my, wow, think about that. Their thoughts must have gone back basically to when Christ told them at the Last Supper on the eve of his betrayal, "I will come again." This is where many get confused and with Scripture, and as did the early church, concerning the rapture and the second coming. We sometimes today, people hear about the second coming and they're thinking that's the rapture. Then they think about the rapture and they think of it as being the second coming. And then they fail to realize that at the second coming, we'll be with the Lord. And I often find that many people have said in churches for as many as 20 years and never heard the preaching of the rapture. Now, we take a lot of things for granted when we think about our church here. How wonderful it is to hear the Word of God preached. And it is. But there are churches all over the country that never preach about the rapture or even the second coming. They never preach about some of the things except some of the little things that they touch base on. And yet you say, well, why? Well, I know what the Bible tells us. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. And that's why we need to know what the rapture really is and be looking for it and expect it. I remember when Christ refused Satan's offer of the kingdoms of this world if he would just bow down to him. But in a moment of weakness, instead of Christ turning to that temptation, the church actually got to where they turned to it. And they accepted the things of the kingdoms of this world in a moment. Of weakness, that church not only accepted it, and they've grown weary since. The church under Constantine married the world. It became an advantage to be a Christian back then instead of being despised and beaten and killed and poverty stricken. And they changed over in the church under Constantine of being popular and very rich. And leaders in the world, the church grew in number, but it did not grow in the Word of God. And under Augustine and Constantine and different ones, people don't know what their real words or their meaning of their names were. But when you think of vicar and various things, and the Pope and all the different things, we must understand that those were the times when the church did not become the church immediately But those people that were not in the church that Constantine had, they grew strong because of the words of Jesus as he had spoken to his disciples. And people today are also turning to that sort of mindset. The churches that are growing the fastest are those who are taking on false prophecies. And what happens is, while they're turning to false prophecies by false prophets, we need to recognize that people today very seldom in some churches ever hear the gospel preached at all. They have numbers, great numbers. I've visited over 150 churches over the span of 50 years plus in ministry. And some of the churches on the West Coast and some of them in the New England states and different places. You would never know you were in a church if you went into those places. And maybe some of you have been in them and maybe some have not. But don't take anything for granted. If we're hearing the Word of God preached here, we need to say, praise the Lord. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Carrying the cross of Jesus. Amen. Many that attend churches today are not aware of some of the things that are in the churches. Contemplative prayer, Christian mysticism, social justice. There's the critical race theory and the Marxist solution, and many other false doctrines have been saturating the church world. But I can tell you today what we need is Jesus Christ preached, and we need to sing of Him and glorify Him and look forward to that day when we're going to see Him face to face. Amen? Praise God. Several have personally asked me and my wife, why we travel so far to come to church. It's about 35, 36 miles. And I tell them that we do what we want to do. That's what people do. They do what they want to do. How many agree? Amen. They do. And I want to do it because we hear the word preached. Some just go to the closest church in their vicinity. We all need to seek a Bible-based church and walk the walk and be together in such a wonderful way. The Apostle Paul preached that we should become broken vessels for Christ. And I want to just read this scripture to you in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. If you get a chance ever, take and read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which is Paul's statement of power for ministry. Also, if you have a little bit of more time, you might want to look at chapters 20 through 28 of the book of Acts to observe the horrendous suffering that the Apostle Paul withstood. When I read some things about the Apostle Paul, I shudder. I even think, how could anyone in their own, in a right mind, go through those things? The sufferings that he went through. One night I just asked my wife, I said, I want to share a scripture with you out of Acts 20. And I told her what verse, and I started reading and I couldn't stop. And I read all the way through chapter 28. And she was standing there in the kitchen with me. And I thought to myself, wow, did you know I went through about 8 or 9 chapters? And she said, yeah, but isn't it amazing what he went through? And I'm thinking, isn't it amazing? We've always had brilliant philosophers throughout our life. In fact, the matter is, a lot of people are not aware that philosophers, basically, throughout the world, they have done writings or have written articles about God that have been hopeless exercises of ignorance in their reasonings. Very simply, they're finite beings trying to explain an infinite God. Have you ever thought about the verse in Proverbs 3:5? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Why not? God who created us is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. All the rest of our understanding is merely worldly wisdom under the skies of knowledge regarding God. We sometimes think, wow, that was a brilliant statement that somebody made. He must have been a very brilliant person. And somebody said, well, he's written several books. And they say, I want those books. And then they find out when they start reading these books, there's nothing in there. He happened to make a statement that could have been a good commercial for his books. But I think you and I, as we look at the Bible, the Word of God, we see how it opens up and unfolds the truths to us. And how blessed I am thinking of, I read those Proverbs, and especially where it said a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And I thought, as I've heard the word preached, I said, that's the word. That's the word I need. That's the one that thrills me and lifts my heart and lifts my spirit. I also realize that you know, when you talk about philosophers, we don't just think about philosophers. It's about all of us. We can philosophize, and we can try to say great things, but really, until our heart is in Christ Jesus, and until we know that the words of God are fitly spoken and the Spirit is touching our heart, and until that happens, we don't know how it is to come alive when reading. But when you read God's Word, how many have you read it sometimes and you just couldn't get away from it? It just grabbed you. And you felt like you had just taken all your vitamins, you know? That's a wonderful feeling. But we're not to lean on our own understanding. We are to walk with Him. And unless God informs us, we don't even know. Because we don't even know in our own hearts. Did you know Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We read in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The insight that we get from this doesn't come from the mind of our wisdom, our intelligence of finite and sinful man. Philosophers' heads are filled with thoughts of atheism, agnosticism, and pantheism. And believe me today, until you start listening to some of these philosophers, you don't realize that. But the more we read God's Word and when we listen to those people that philosophize, we find out that the reason God sent His Son, Jesus, the living Word, to be the way, the truth, and the life, and His purpose for coming was to take on humanity and be a man who was tempted as we are and yet live a sinless life. Suffer pain and death as the sacrificial lamb. He wants to live in the hearts of those who seek Him and put Him first. There are many factors that account for the growing apostasy and seduction of the church. Many. One of the most alarming is the teaching that this present earth, instead of heaven, is the ultimate home of the church. How many know that? How many know that? And you surely don't believe that we're getting all ready for this earth to build a kingdom here so that He can come, and we're getting it ready for Him. Did you know that when I look at John chapter 14, I see He says, I go away and prepare a place. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. What is He talking about here? What is He really saying when you think about it? And now what are they talking about when they talk of the kingdom on this earth? A lot of people call it kingdom dominion theology. Well, I can tell you that's exactly what it is. You know, when He takes us to the Father's house, what a wonderful day that's going to be. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am there, what? I may be also, you may be also. Praise God. This is working for the Antichrist. It's not working for God. Every time we start talking about earthly kingdoms, we're dealing with the Antichrist. We're close. We're not there yet. I don't know if He's living. I don't know if where He's coming from. Some people said they think maybe Eastern Europe. Others think another place. Some believe it to be a pope. They can say all manner of things. But you know, when you really understand this, it's going to be someone that people put their trust in and their confidence in. And I thank God that we can put our trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Amen? Praise God. While the Antichrist will be universally worshipped, Jesus tells us that Israel will feel a special kinship with Him and will accept Him as their Messiah, her Savior. After all, He brings about the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Peace in the Middle East, established by the Antichrist, will become the key to the new age that will dawn for all mankind. You know, when I think about this, I like to look into 1 Thessalonians. And I just love it. I often, when I turn to 1 Thessalonians, I want to share just something with you out of it. First of all, I want to share 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2. It says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." But then when you look back, and you see in chapter 4, I love this. If you look at chapter or verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and do remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the sound or the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." I'm excited about that. I explained it. A young man was trying to figure how this is going to happen, and I tried to do it the best I could. I just put my hand in one location and I said, "The dead in Christ shall rise first, and when they get to where we are, we'll be caught up with them in the air." Do you know what that's going to mean? There's a wedding taking place. We talk about weddings on this earth. A lot of times, unless people are actually are Christians and know the Lord, there's really not a marriage, it's a ceremony, it's a wedding ceremony. But until when you get married, what a wonderful thing that is. Because see, when you get married in Christ Jesus together, you're taking your vows together, then you start looking for help of counseling and look for marriage guidance. And when you look at Ephesians chapter 5, and it tells you, it said, and Christ, He tells us, he said, we are to love our wife, men are to love our wife as Christ loved the church. That's a lot of love. Amen. That's a lot of love. That means that there's some adjustments to be made. That means there's some slack to be taken care of. That means there's some times of forgiveness. And there's some time of intercessory prayer. And there's some time of hurting and pain and sorrow. But you know, I love it. My wife and I are going on 54 years married together. I love it. I'm excited. I told her the other night, she looked nice enough that I want a date with her. And I can tell you, we are dating. Amen. We're dating in several ways. In fact, I looked on the calendar the other day and found out we are. But I often think, when I think of this title that I put onto this tonight, I decided I want to put a title on this message, A Thought to Behold. The thought that I have to give you is this. There's going to be a marriage, and I want to be a part of that. The Bible tells us that the children of God are going to be the bride, and Jesus will be the groom. What a day that will be. I often sing, I'll be waking up in the morning sometime at 3 or 4 in the morning, and I'll be singing, what a day that will be. You know it? When my Jesus sing it, I shall see, and I look
upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Some of my devotions early in the morning are pulling up one of those 11 or 12 prize hymnals that I have and looking at some of those songs that were written in the 1700s, 1800s, and 1900s. And, oh my goodness, I know it's nice to sing new songs, but boy, some of them old songs, you can't beat them. Amen. There's some of those songs that get a hold of me, and I start singing. Before you know it, I begin to praise him and to shout the praises of God. When I was writing my book, I'd get up at sometimes 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and go down there and be singing. And all of a sudden, I'd be thinking, there's a note that I wrote about 2 or 3 years ago. I wish I could find that note, because I put some special time into it. And all of a sudden, I go over to my library or look in one of those books, and I would pick up the book, just happened to be the one with the note in it. And I hadn't even looked at that book in a long time. I believe God allowed that to happen. And I believe that some of the inspirational moments that I've had at the early hours of the morning has been because of one thing, and that is this, that Jesus is alive and well. Amen. Praise God. There's an old song I pulled out, and I just want to read the lyrics of this old song. How many of you have ever heard it? It was written in 1951 by Otis McCoy, and I happen to know him. In fact, I sang with his son. Amen. And I didn't realize it, that he wrote this song until many years later. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. How many have heard of that? All right. Thank you. This world is not my home. I'm only passing by. My treasures and my hope are all up in the sky. My friends and loved ones wait, who trod this way before. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. In that eternal land, there is no dying there. The saints their victory shout and Jesus' name declare. The Savior I will praise, who all my sorrows bore. And then my Lord's expecting me, and this I surely know. I fixed it up with God so many years ago. I know he'll take me through. I'm traveling to that shore. And the last stanza is, I won't have long to stay. My work is nearly done. I'm happy now to say my race is almost run. So long mine eyes are set on heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I don't know about you, but I get pretty excited when I think about going to that place where I will. Somebody asked me one time, said, won't you ever get bored just praising God for endless ages? When I told him about the 24 elders around the throne praising God, and I said, well, let me ask you a question. When you're at a football game, no matter how many games they've lost or whatever before, what their schedule is, if they're winning, you're excited, aren't you? And no matter how long the game lasts, or if it goes to overtime, really, you're still excited, right? Yes. I said, well, just think, that's just a ball game. When you think about going to be with Jesus for all eternity, what a joy that's going to be. Amen. I just want to close my message this morning or this evening by saying this.
There's a spiritual pandemic affecting our entire world. And only one vaccine is available. And there's no delay or waiting in line to receive it. There are no side effects. It only promotes eternal life, everlasting. And this vaccine was manufactured through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Mount Calvary. It was paid for in full, and the only requirement to receive it is by having faith in the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, the living Word. I tell people, if you haven't received the vaccine, do it as quick as possible. Especially when I tell them about that one. You know, tonight, while our Awanas are downstairs, and while people are listening and watching on live stream, and while people that I talk with in California and different places around this world, there are those that know the Lord, the same one that we sing about and preach about here. And when they get excited, you would never know that they're that many miles away. We had a conversation, a fellow and I, on the phone the other night, or the other day, morning time, was about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't realize that when I called him, it was about 6 o'clock there. But I guess he needed to be woke up early. But I will say this. We had a wonderful time. And about 50 minutes later, when we got ready to hang up, it was shouting victory on that phone. And he said, "Brother, you never call me too early when talk about Jesus." Isn't that wonderful? Would you just bow your head in a word of prayer? Lord, I thank you for the scriptures tonight. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for this service. I thank you, Lord, for your precious hand that's reaching out all over this world to save those that are lost. And I ask your blessings tonight upon each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Other.